Good morning, Rob.
How are you?
Hold on one second. All right, Dave, you there too?
I'm on.
Rob, good. Hey, I want to apologize, Rob. The last time, you know, this stinking thing got me. It's like everyone's been sick around here. And this thing went into my chest. And I couldn't, you know, my breathing was bad. I was coughing. We were at these meetings, and I'd get coughing. It's crazy. So I apologize for missing the last one, but I heard Dave carried the banner for me.
He carried the water.
Yeah, and Emily's here today, too.
Good morning.
Good morning.
She was on her, I guess you were on the national...
Yeah, our field leadership meeting, our annual meeting. So, I'm glad you got home this call as well.
But one of the things, Rob, I did want to share with you, so Emily had, I guess, you know, for all the managers a couple weeks ago, and then last week we had our, I guess, regional,
Yeah, market level kickoff meeting.
So we had our own kickoff meeting, you know, with, you know, you, I think you know Ted Durkin.
Yeah.
Good guy. So, but one of the things I just wanted to tell you, I wanted to share some stuff about that. And so Dave came, you know, we were there together, and they had a good group of speakers on. One of them was a guy who's been, you know, around forever, but his whole basis was planning. And it still seems like that is a focus for the firm because not everybody's doing it. And the second piece was, it looked like, you know, converting to advisory. So I felt pretty good, Rob, when, you know, Dave and I were talking. I said, you know, it seems like all the initiatives that where the firm and the industry is going, we're already doing that. And I mean, obviously, that's what Supernova is all about. But I think the fact that even you guys, you know, the firm is making, you know, not everybody's doing it, right?
And I think we take that for granted, I think. That especially on this team, planning is such an integral part of what you all do.
Right.
I think we take it for granted, but it's, you know, how do we take it to the next level? You know,
right.
I think that's the purpose for these coaching calls. You know, we have a financial plan, we have a financial plan
right.
on the team now.
Right.
But how do we bring it to life?
Yeah.
And continue to deliver that to everybody.
Yeah. So. And one of the things, Rob, the other that was sort of you know, it sounded good because I'm not doing it. We're not charging for plans. And this person positioned it how he started to do that. I think he looked at, you know, the total relationship fee just for the investment management, and he started to split it out. Because he said, we spent most of our time planning, so we're going to charge you X the plan and reduce the management fee. Are you seeing that?
Well, see, I think that's something that when you look at profitability of an account, it's one of the screens that we use, right? We use 9 or 11 screens. And one of the screens is profitability. So if you have a client that has $24 million with you and he's paying you $120,000 or, you know, $200,000 or whatever it happens to be, that's probably a client that you could afford to do in-depth multi-generational planning for. You've got a client that pays you $5,000. Well, maybe that client, you know, where your minimum is $10,000, but you still have them, but you want to do planning for them, then probably you should charge them $2,500 or $5,000 to get them up to the minimum.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think that's kind of, if it were me, that would be the way I would do it. Some people charge every time, no matter what. And there's some thought behind that. And let me give you a little bit of the thought behind why it makes sense to charge. One of the reasons is that you will take it more seriously. Meaning, if you don't get paid any more to do it, no matter how good a person you are,
yeah.
You will procrastinate on it, and you'll tend to not want to do it. Right? And the same thing is true for the client. So if you get paid, you're conscientious, you're going to do the planning, you're going to do it on time, you're going to deliver it. But the same thing is true of the client. If the client doesn't pay for it, they don't see any value in it. So when you charge a person, you have to explain to them what it is you're going to do, why you're going to do it, how long it's going to take you to do it. It's kind of like painting your house, right? You think about it, you know, you get what you pay for. They do a bad job. You just have to do it again. You hire somebody, they do it, you pay them enough, they do a nice job, it lasts for 2 or 3 or 4 years, you're proud of it, looks good every day, okay? So you really want to think about it and make sure that certainly you're always, when somebody's paying you $100,000 a year for fee-based services, you're always trying to make sure that you're delivering that concierge, family office kind of experience to them. And that would include financial planning. But when somebody's paying you $10,000, you know, I think you could be very comfortable. You know, let's say every 5 years, just like, I don't want to use anything gross, but occasionally you need a personal kind of physical every 5 years, and that, you know, you're willing to pay for.
Right.
So, you know, you can do it.
That seems to be, I guess, were you hearing this, Emily, at the national level? I mean, with...
I think we're seeing a little bit more of an uptick in terms of people trying to say, if decompression is something that we take is serious, let's separate out the financial planning fee from our investment management fee and really differentiate ourselves in terms of this is what you will receive from him. So I think some teams are looking at it for a little bit of a buffer for mm-hmm. some of the risks that are coming in the next, call it, 5 years. So we've seen an uptick of that, but I can't say that it's a focus of mine. I think we have to do what's right and best in the client's interest. But I think, again, if the mindset of the team is that way, I mean, we have a team here in our office that wants to generate $200,000 in fees this current year.
Wow.
So they're going back to all their clients and charging between $5,000 and $7,500 per plan, but they're really putting an action behind it, which I think is really impressive.
Yeah.
So to them, it's adding basically a junior partner to their team without adding another head to their team.
Yeah.
So that's the way they're seeing it, as another revenue source.
Yeah.
Well, I think that if you're going to do it, you almost need to have a planner on your team. So, because it takes a lot of time. I mean,
not if we got David, we got the eighth planner.
I've got 2,000 plans in my day.
Yeah. Right. So, Dave, how do you feel charging for planning?
You cut out a little bit to say, how do I feel about charging for plans?
Yeah. Yes.
I think it's, for whatever reason, from all my experience, I've worked with a lot of different advisors over the past 3 or 4 years doing plans. I think it's much more hesitant on the advisor side than it is on the client or the prospect, depending if they're, you know, in the door or not. I think the consumer or client is very willing to pay for it, and I think it's the advisor that is kind of saying on the flip side of things, that they don't think what they're providing is worth kind of the price tag of what they want to charge. There's more, I think, in the advisor's head that they don't think what they're providing the client is worth the cost. And I believe that's because they don't do planning the right way. We go in detail, we spend a lot of time not only developing the plan, going through discovery in a very detailed manner, but then actually presenting the plan and going through the strategies and how to implement those strategies. When you do the full soup to nuts, I mean, it's a very impactful. And I don't think I've ever given a plan where a client said, you know, oh, I got nothing out of that, or I wouldn't pay for that. So I believe in paying for plans. I just think, and what Rick and Emily were saying, this one individual who's, you know, advisor over in the Pittsburgh office, you know, he's kind of changed his practice where, you know, he obviously, you know, he said planning first and foremost, and that's kind of the crux of the relationship. He then developed a fee structure around that to say, I have a planning fee and I have an investment management fee. But the investment management fee is not that flat 1%. Let's say it's 50 bits or 75 bits. And then I have a flat planning fee that for all the advice and guidance I will give you throughout the year, not related to your investment portfolio, that's $5,000 a year or $10,000, whatever that number is. And I think that hybrid solution is pretty interesting. I mean, I definitely think it's tough to change relationships that you maybe had for, you know, in Rick's instance, that you had for 20 or 30 years to say, hey, yeah, I'm changing my whole fee arrangement. You used to pay me 1%. Now I'm going to charge you 50 basis points for a $10,000 planning fee. I just don't know what the best method is, or if you were to kind of turn the tide a little bit and go into that philosophy, how you do that.
Yeah, my attitude is that it's always been the idea that the investment management fee is just a tiny portion of what we do. And I think a lot of financial advisors that were stockbrokers converted to wealth managers, but still see themselves as charging for wealth, for stock portfolio management, competing with 6 basis points and 60 points and that kind of thing. And that's where you're seeing price compression. When you put yourself out there as a concierge financial physician or a modified family office group, you're charging for what you're talking about, which begins with, you know, we talk about it, multi-generational planning, and then full implementation of that planning process, which is a continuous process, never ending. We don't sell books. What we sell is a process. We sell our advice and guidance on an ongoing basis on how to manage your life. And, you know, you take care of everything for them so they don't need to worry. So I've always seen Supernova as much more than, in fact, investments are, and you know, Rick, you hardly talk about investments. I mean, it becomes a minor part of the conversation. And, oh, by the way, here's your performance, you know. But let's talk about, you know, what you're going to be doing for charitable giving this year and how do we best do that with a required minimum distribution or highly appreciated securities, and what's the timing on that, and what's your schedule for that. And so to me, that's a lot more important than, you know, what are we charging for an investment fee. So I'm not sure that I simply like to charge one fee and make that a rich experience.
Yeah.
So you can break it out and differentiate. Maybe that's easier for the client to understand why they're paying what they're paying. Or you can talk about it and say, look, you know, what you're paying is 1%, but this is really how it breaks down.
Yeah.
You're paying about 50 basis points for investment management, and the rest of the fee is for this concierge family office group experience that we deliver.
I think that's an easier way to break it down. And, well, the same guy who was really good, I mean, he was obviously a top advisor, and but he was breaking it down. Like he said, wealth management is, you know, a generic term, but he breaks it down into its three components. And one is the investment management. The other piece is the financial planning, and he broke it down into the tax minimization, estate planning, charitable giving, yada, yada. And then the fourth one, or the third one, though, was really good, because he said it's the other piece is to manage the client's relationships with their other advisors. I thought, I mean, that's basically what we try to do, but I think it articulated well, and I think it struck both Dave and I, you know, to get that sort of, and I now I'm feeling more comfortable when you're saying that. This is what your fee includes, but just to articulate that in a you know, more consistent, again, consistent way so that clients understand that.
Yeah, I think it's important. You don't want to be selling product, okay? You're selling advice and guidance. So I think for you to break it down and maybe even articulate it that way, but emphasize that it's a holistic relationship built on trust and that you're hiring us to anticipate your issues. And that's where the agenda comes in. It comes from the financial plan, you create the agenda, but then the agenda evolves over time as the client's needs evolve. And you serve that agenda. So the agenda may be their charitable giving. All right, it may be the securitized loans that they've developed for their children so they can finance, you know, two new houses that they're trying to buy, and they don't want to go through the mortgage process, and the client becomes the bank. You facilitate all of that and take care of it and then manage it and handle the whole thing. Well, that's not what typical financial advisors are doing today. And that's, you know, I do business with independents, and they can't do what you do, see? So what you're always looking for is, what can I do that the independent can't do? Mm-hmm. They can do it, but it's very cumbersome. Okay. Very difficult for them to make a securitized loan and to make it and to get a competitive fee on that. I mean, in terms of the client. So you can and that, to me, your typical client now is anywhere between 65 and 75 years old. Those, what they're doing is trying to facilitate their children and their grandchildren's lives. And in many cases, their children are not as successful as the parents. And so what can they do? They don't want to go out and buy a house for them. But they can lend them the money to buy the house, to access the bank, and make the kids feel empowered that they have bought the house, they're paying for it, but instead of paying 6% or something, that you can do it for 3.25% or 3.5%, 3.75%. So they can make it very attractive. And then they, instead of paying off interest, they're paying off principal. So you become the manager of the liability side of the balance sheet as well as the asset side. And you're selling more products and services, but what you're really trying to do is facilitate their life and their relationships with their kids and their grandchildren. So that, to me, is the ongoing process of financial planning that is not just doing the planning, but, you know, now with the tax law change, what does that mean in terms of estate planning and relationship planning? Understanding, I mean, my brother and I just spent kind of the whole weekend talking about how do we facilitate the lives of our children and grandchildren in a delicate way so as not to make them feel as though we're running things, but just to facilitate their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got all kinds of politics in there with, you know, wives and kids, reliability, and I don't mean to get off on the tangent here, but I think that's real life planning rather than, you know, we're going to do planning for you. I think you really have to, when you do the planning, you really have to sit. I mean, I hear about people that one person takes all the information down, then the other one does the planning. No, when you're sitting with them doing the fact finding, that's when you find out what the real issues in their life. And then, you know, how do you help them?
Yeah.
So, you know, and, you know, the wife wants, you know, is bored and needs to have more interest. How do you help them, you know, to create more interest, help them travel? I always say that people either are spending too much or not spending enough. You're never just right. So part of our job is to help them to understand that they can spend more and how to do that effectively with concierge travel agents and people that facilitate their lives, find out what they want, with, you know, and then give them permission to travel and enjoy their money. And other people, you've got to control them. You've got to put them on a budget because they're overspending.
Right.
But anyway, that's kind of going off on that a little bit. But
I think that's good. And I think it's, but I think the conversation is good regarding about what you're getting for what you're charging. And whether, because I've always felt that if we're charging this management fee and they're paying us 20 grand a year, 25, the planning is part of what they get. But I think it's articulating that to them so, you know, they just don't look at what Schwab is going to charge them at, you know, they're going to do it for 60 basis points, but we're doing a you know, one, you know.
Go ahead. I completely agree.
Okay.
And, you know, things like I pay quarterly taxes, right? And I, frankly, was super nervous. And I'm not great about keeping track of it. I don't really have a bookkeeper. I've got an accountant. She knows how much I'm supposed to pay by when, but I don't keep track of it. She's not going to call me. So my team takes care of it.
Right.
They know when the tax bill is, because I'm, you know, I miss it once or twice. And so they keep track of it. They keep track. I mean, they just kind of, you know, it's not that much trouble for them, right? They know when the taxes are due. They call the accountant. The accountant says, Rob owes 40 grand. And then they issue the check for it. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's a miracle. Well, think about it. It's not that any trouble for Linda, the sales assistant. She's fabulous. She takes care of the whole thing. But Rob doesn't have to worry. So Rob is like, my wife is like, you will never leave.
Hey, Rob, to that point, I've been thinking the last couple of days, I've heard a couple of people talk about, you know, the fact-finding and really going down to, like, what's most important in our clients' lives. And I was thinking about, you know, the way we profile our clients is it kind of almost reprofile and dig back in. Do you have any resources or anything that you would readily recommend that would give a really comprehensive list of, like, the things that you might not automatically think of to know about a client, but we should know? You know, example, I was thinking of, you know, do we know where all of our clients that have kids that are in high school want to go to college? You know, do we know where the kids work? Do we know kind of what charities or boards do they sit on? In a way for us to be able to then, you know, I was thinking for Rick and Dave, you know, do we do something for the population, for the next gen almost, and do like, you know, a resume day or a mock interview day and know which kids are kind of getting ready to go into which industry and how can we help them make connections and be that person that is, you know, the marriage person that puts people together. But I was hoping that maybe you had something that gave us a list of other things that we should know about our clients as we can think about kind of reprofiling some of them.
The answer is yes and no. The answer is if you and I interviewed together, I could tell you that, but I don't have it written.
Yeah.
But what you're talking about, Emily, is this, and we've got to come up with a better name of it, but it's a family office group mentality.
Yeah.
And it's taking care, it's helping me. I mean, a friend of mine said, would you interview my son? Okay, he's a client. His son wants to get into Harvard and wants me to interview him because he's going for graduate PhD and so he thinks I'm a good interviewer and would like to help him. Of course I'll do that, right? That's what I do. I do whatever you need.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't matter what it is. I mean, in terms of if I have the skills to do it, I will do it. So what you're saying, those questions, Emily, were fabulous questions. And that's what we need to do is to kind of go through the days of our lives and ask the questions that are really important in each of those areas. But that's a real in-depth interview. And that takes time. And that, you know, it's what you need to know. But have we written all those questions out? No, but I think
it's almost like, you know, to get that, Rob, I'm thinking it because I just know from experience, it's almost like, you know, you're peeling that onion, each layer, and if there's a trust level, you got to get to that to be able to feel the next level back. Because everyone's going to give you the surface stuff. You know, if it's a new prospect, they're not going to go into detail about their kid who's having their, you know, some issues with stuff or, you know, you're not going to hear some of that stuff that really is on their mind, probably.
I did sit in this coaching session with another kind of consultant a couple years ago, and he had an idea, and he worked with a couple different advisor teams. They actually used, again, this is kind of more the preliminary before getting to maybe where Emily was talking about, but they used a software called MindMath, which almost was like a, you would have like the client, the family or the client's name kind of in the center of a giant diagram, like a picture. And then off of this kind of the family picture, the family name, you would have kind of squiggly lines going out to kind of every aspect of the client's life. So the kids, the organizations, the companies they've worked for, kind of gathering all that information, using information you know from, you know, speaking with and having the relationship with the client, also looking at LinkedIn, and kind of getting the idea of all the stuff that people are interested in and what's going on in their lives. And after every conversation or meeting you had, you add to this mind map. You continue to build it out. And my example to Rick would be like, yesterday we had a great call with a client, a husband and wife, and they said, oh, you know, our son Jared's getting married in the summer in New Hampshire. You know, our other son Zach has also been, significantly involved with his soon-to-be potential spouse. Like, they were giving up more information. They were just buying a Ford F-150 truck. So there was other things that, and again, this is just one strategy that this one consultant said has he has seen work, is that you use kind of a picture diagram and you show the clients this diagram to show them, hey, you know, we're kind of trying to build out everything around your lives and what's important to you, and to kind of have them fill in other blanks, and you kind of take an ongoing document like a financial plan, but it's like a picture diagram of all the things important in a family's life, if that makes sense.
Okay. Let me endorse that, because I've seen that used also. But let me also say that what you need to do is you need to develop the answers. Alright, and the answers to these problems are usually people that have been enthusiastically endorsed trusted professionals. So we get back to that list, that kind of that golden Rolodex of enthusiastically endorsed trusted professionals in your community that you can trust, so when the child does develop a drug problem, you have Bruce's name and phone number, and you can confidently introduce them as a solution to the problem, not just understanding the problem. So you know the people that can help the child to get into that preschool, and you can make that introduction. So you have these solutions to their ongoing issues that you know are going to continue to come up. But there are only so many issues, right? There are only so many issues. There's a finite number of issues in a person that people can run into. There's a lot of them, but there's a finite number. And you can have the answer, literally, to every problem, okay? Which is very exciting. I mean, as an advisor. So you become the guy, when somebody develops Crohn's disease, you know the best guy in your community to deal with that. And somebody develops AFib. Somebody has a drug problem. Somebody has to put their mom in a retirement community. You've got the consultant to hire to not only help her find the right community, and you know the right community, but you also have a person that helps the children stage the house so that when mom needs to sell it, you're going to get the maximum price. And then you also have a recommendation for a realtor. So, and these are all trusted people, not just the best, but they're trusted. And they know that you're putting their clients in your hands, your clients in their hands, and they're not going to do anything to violate that.
So, coming back, I'm just looking at your other things where you're saying what we're doing is selling advice and guidance, but it's all, you know, the relationship is based on trust. And then now we're saying trust. So trust. I mean, that's the one, you know, common theme. And I know you, you know, that whole thing you put into your bank of trust and how we make deposits in there all the time. And I like it.
In that mind map, you have, you know, all the trusted advisors. So you're kind of listing, you know, the estate attorney, the accountant, you know, anyone else that's involved. You know, medical directive, health proxies, trustees at any trust you have in that kind of diagram. Again, it's more just a pictorial way of going to, you do the financial plan and then you kind of provide the client and they can provide it to their kids or anyone else, but it's just to provide that pictures and give us more of an idea of all the things that are around that, how you can connect that, you know, that map to some other client or some other relationship and link kind of all together, as Rob had said, through, you know, centers of influence and contact that we know of.
To me, the key here is that you're becoming much more of a life coach than you really are just we really shouldn't be called financial advisors anymore. You know, not even financial consultants. You know, we should be kind of a family office group advisors. You know, it's almost, you're taking on a different role. And a lot of people aren't willing to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you've got somebody with $25 million, that's what they want and they can't get it. Okay? I mean, I've had experience recently. It was really amazing. Now, I'm going to probe into it and find out more about it. But I met some wonderful people that have got in the hundreds of millions of dollars, and they're telling me about doing business with Vanguard.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, think about it, right? And I'm like, wait a minute, now, you know. And they were like, well, you know, I got more than trust scrutiny, so now I'm doing business with Vanguard. And I'm like, oh, my God. You know, I can't do what I don't want to do. I mean, I could pay my quarterly taxes. I could keep track of when I'm supposed to give what money to so-and-so for my charity. I don't want to do that, right? I want to hire you guys to do that.
Right.
So if I had $200 million, I'd want to do it more.
Yeah.
You know, I'd want to hire somebody more than that. In fact, it's ridiculous because, you know, so my point is, I think there's a rich market out there, guys, for this service. And that you shouldn't be intimidated by somebody that has $50 million because I don't think they're getting it. Okay? I think they're still pricing themselves based on 6 basis points or 50 basis points. Or they're thinking of money management rather than life management and life coaching and financial planning and helping. I don't even like the term financial planning because I think it's so much more than that.
Yep.
Right? I mean, it's not, we're not going to do a financial plan. We're going to do a life plan.
Yeah.
So
that's good. So
I think that's where we're going anyway. And I think
one of the things, Rob, I just wanted to tell you also, I want to brag a little bit. Because now, I mean, really, we've only, you know, Dave and I have only been going 6 months last year we started, so it's really not even baked in the cake yet. But one, you know, because I've been a solo guy, and that's why, you know, I've been able to, you know, grow and do this in a limited way. But I think now, like that supernova ready to explode, I think it's going to do that. But even with that, last week I was proud, and when our regional thing, our meeting, they put up some slides of everybody, you know, Million Dollar Producers slide, the QNRs, which is new relationships, net new money, I forget what
production
else, production growth, and I hit them all.
Oh, wow, congratulations.
But, no, it is. You know, sometimes you take it for granted, but like, I said, holy shit, you know, that's just consistency. It's nothing, but I think now adding Dave and work, you know, doing the stuff, that, you know, back revisiting your, you know, the supernova stuff again, it could just really, really take off. So Dave and I, when we were walking out, we said, we're going to kick butt, we're going to be on the top of those
things.
Damn right.
So, the question is, thank you, Rob, I think, you know, for getting me in the right direction.
Well, thank you. The what they didn't measure up there is customer satisfaction. And I will guarantee you, if you measured your customer satisfaction, you would be at the very top of the list. Okay? And that's what we want to leverage here, and to help other people that might appreciate the value that you're delivering. And that's part of what we need to transition to, is asking that value question. And you can do it as simply as, you know, asking them the question, what is it that you valued? You know, we're always trying to get better as a team. And we implemented this process, which you're familiar with, Supernova, and we're proud of it, but we always think we can get better. So what I'd like to do is ask you a couple of questions. What do you think are the three things that you value the most from your experience that you've had with us in the last year? Okay? And they tell you. And three things is always a good question. Asking threes is very powerful because it gives them time. They'll ask. The first thing that comes to their mind, they'll put down, but they'll be thinking. And by the time you get to the third one, it's usually the most important one. And then what you can ask is, oh, by the way, just so we're on our toes, is there something, you know, that you think we could do to get better? And listen carefully. And they'll probably, frankly, they probably will say, you know, maybe they'll have a suggestion, which is very valuable to you, by the way. This is a trusted advisor, right? And you say, just so I can feedback to my team, and they'll go, oh, we love your team, you guys are great, you think you're terrific, and so forth. Then what you do is, you can simply say, we are always interested in meeting people that you think would be a good fit, that would value the same things that you do. Okay? So just keep that in mind.
Hold on. All right. So always, because this is my stumbling block. So always interested in meeting people.
Like yourself that you think would be a good fit. That's a good phrase. Meaning, when you say a good fit, they kind of understand. Meaning, they have the money. They'd be like you. Someone like yourself that you think would be a good fit that we should know. It's a real soft way of saying it.
Yeah.
I can give you more concrete ways of doing it that are more elaborate. What I find is that people...
I like the simple ones.
Right. People, well, it's kind of like Supernova. You know, we keep it simple. We have one level of service. Don't give me three levels of service, A, B, C, and D. I can't keep track of it. So this is just a simple way of saying it. And you can say it. So you're doing a mini survey, and then you're just reminding them that you're open for business. And a lot of people don't think about the fact, you know, you don't think about it, right, to refer people, unless somebody brings it up that they need help. And then you say, oh, I've got the guy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So your CPA isn't saying, oh, by the way, if you think of somebody that would be a good fit for me, let me know. They never say that. It's like you're not thinking to refer them unless somebody brings it up. But if they said, you know, think about it for between now and the next time we talk. If you think of somebody, let's talk about it the next time. And they're like, oh, okay, I'll think about it. And they, you know, think about it and they'll come up with somebody. So when you're visiting somebody, so you're doing 12-4-2s, right? So you're going to visit somebody. You're taking the time, and it's a trip, wherever it is. Maybe it's a couple hours. Maybe it's overnight. And you say, ahead of time, by the way, I'm really looking forward to it. You do the survey question and say, well, by the way, I'm really looking forward to coming and visiting you. Between now and the time we get there, if you think there's somebody that we should meet, why don't you go ahead and give me a call, and we'll set that up while I'm there. Okay? So, I'll give you an example. I mean, my team's coming to visit you, right? If they said that to me, I would be thinking about who it is that they should meet. But if they don't ask me, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
See, look, even though I, you know, you heard me talk about me, the team I'm working with, right? I love them.
Yeah.
But unless they ask me, I'm not going to be thinking about, and I'm not asking them to make a judgment whether that person should do business or not. I'm just somebody that we should meet. But you think it'd be a good fit. I mean, nothing. No judgment. Just we'd like them and they'd like us and so forth. So I think we miss the boat when we don't ask that question.
Perfect.
Because it's not their job to remember that we're out open for business.
Right. Well, this is good because this is where Dave's reminding me of that all the time. So that's
pushing,
where it's
I'm pushing.
Yeah. And it's good.
You know, and you can always just at the end say, oh, by the way, just a reminder, don't keep us a secret.
Okay, that's a good one.
That's a passive one for you, right? That's
I hear you.
You like those. You like the non-pushy ones. That's a good non-pushy one.
Exactly. Dave's the pusher. I want to reiterate, Rob, what's really working is these, not only the agenda, but the follow-up.
Yeah.
We're giving summaries now to every, and it's really, we're getting responses and they're thanking us. Like even last night after the one couple we talked to, and she's an engineer, her husband's an attorney, and so we summarized the call, and even like David put in, you know, we're sharing us about kids and your wedding stuff, and but he just listed everything we talked about, not only how much money they made last year and everything, but the other issues about their life that's going on. And it really is, and it's a great semi-confirmation of what we talked about, but also sort of an action plan of what the other guy yesterday had to send us all of his other statements from the other place. We're looking to consolidate.
Yeah.
So we gave him an action item to do instead of, doing the call and the next time, oh, I forgot, or, something. It's right. Really been helpful. And the clients love it.
Of course they do. Somebody asked me the other day, what are the key elements of Supernova that so I can make sure I tell the clients when I'm selling this? This is a guy that was doing business in South America. He's got, all Hispanic clients, and he's got kind of a strong accent. He's really courageous. He's going to go and do Supernova, and I'm admiring him. He said, but I got to be able to sell this. So how do I, what are the key elements? What are the bullet points? So I said, well, there's three things that are really important in terms of Supernova helping the client to reduce their stress, okay? And for you to reduce your stress, right? So number one is the insidious ease of time. So procrastination is the first insidious ease of time. It's both for the client and for you. The client may have something on their mind, they want to call you, they put it off. You want to call them, but you put it off.
Right.
By having 12-4-2 scheduled appointment, you both know you're going to talk, you write it down, and it's off of your brain, and it's stress reduction. Phone tag. Okay?
Yeah.
You call them, they're in a meeting, they call you back, you call them back, they call you back, stress. And then it's not important. You were just checking in. And they're like, oh, my God. I went through a week of phone tag, and it's just a check-in.
Yeah.
So and then third is the interruption. Okay, if they interrupt you, you interrupt them. It's stressful, and it's rude. Okay? You're calling them. They're in the middle of a meeting, the middle of surgery. They're not prepared. And so there's stress. This way, with an agenda, okay, ahead of time, they get a chance to put their agenda in. There's an item that you're interested in, Mr. Client, to talk about. Please let us know. We'll put it into the agenda. And then the executive summary reduces stress because they don't have to take notes. They're able to, and if they're accountable, it's right on there. so it reduces stress. They don't have to take notes. They don't have to remember what you said. It's all spelled out. So from a compliance family, from a compliance point of view, you've taken care of.
Yep.
All the I say, you say, issues, I never agreed to that. There it is in writing. The regular client contact, the financial plan, know your client. With Supernova, you eliminate the compliance issues associated with doing business, and you do it painlessly. And the level of service is second to none. So those are just a few bullet points as to why Supernova makes this. It makes it easy for the client, you know. They say, well, I don't want to go to all that trouble. And you say, listen, it's going to reduce a lot of stress in your life. Let me show you why. The other thing that's really important is the 1242s open up the client. And as you said, Rick, you can't do this, and Dave, you said it too, Emily, you did too, that you're not going to get all this information when you do the financial plan. That's just the opening of, that's kind of like when you buy the flower. But when you water it and you take care of it, you feed it, over time it opens up. And gradually they tell you more and more and more, and you fill in the circles. Okay, you fill in the map. And gradually, and then when they know and they become more confident that you have the solution, they're going to call you about Jimmy having a drug problem because they know you are the kind of guy that has solutions. Now, very important is that the people in your network know that they are the trusted advisors, that they are the trusted professionals that you selected. So my suggestion is once a year you bring them together. You bring them together and have them meet each other, and that you give them kind of a lecture on how important this network is to each other. And how important it is for you not to let each other down. Okay, because as fallible human beings, we're always going to have a tendency to want to take a shortcut. But with this group, we can't. Okay? We have to price things properly. We have to take care of each other. We have to be there for each other. And as a group, this trusted group of professionals can be the most valuable part of your business life. Okay, so it's very important. And can be the answer to you going to 5 million.
Good.
So build that relationship.
Trust. I mean, that's the bottom line.
It is. Of course it is.
Exactly.
It has been.
Yeah.
But, you know, we think it's performance or it's something else.
Right.
Oh, we think it's financial planning or something else. No, it's always trust. You get to trust through doing what you say you're going to do when you say you're going to do it. So you're going to screw up. But if you have enough deposits in the bank of trust, you'll get through those hard times. And you'll never lose a client. And that's what you say to the CPA and just to your attorney, your estate planning attorney. And you become their most important relationship. People say, well, I never get introductions from my CPA. I said, because you haven't built the kind of relationship that you need to. It can't be one that is built on once in a while talking. You've got to meet with them every month. You've got to meet as if you are a partnership. You've got to have an agenda and then an executive summary. And you've got to be constantly introducing them, and then they'll be introducing you. And remember, you teach them how to introduce you by having them ask the question, oh, by the way, can you enthusiastically endorse your financial advisor? And they say no, then they say, the CPA says, oh, you know, we'd be open to being introduced to somebody that is enthusiastically endorsed, and frankly, not enthusiastically endorsed, enthusiastically endorsed and trusted.
Yeah.
Right? Think about it. What high value that would be. You would be just no competition.
Yeah.
You're eliminating your competition.
Okay.
Rob, I see a dinner on a dead something. The most valuable and trusted people.
Yeah.
I see them in the work.
Exactly.
Well, I really want you to do this. I mean, this is, I know this is the answer. I just need people to do it and then come back and give me testimonials just like you have.
Yeah.
You're giving me testimonials that it works, right? That the executive summary works. And of course it works. I wouldn't tell you to do it if it didn't. But if you don't use it, then I can't prove it. So you're a great lab for me, and you're a great team, and you can do 5, 10 million. You know, there's no limit to what you can do once you get this model built, and then just keep refining it, keep refining it. It isn't great loss of volume. It's doing it right.
Yeah.
And then nobody can compete with you.
And love it. Love it.
Okay.
So it was good, Rob. I'm glad we caught up, and I missed you last time. But this was good stuff, because this is what's on our mind now. Again, going through these kickoff meetings, like everybody's doing, you know, the managers and all of us. But it really solidified that we're on the right path. We're already ahead of the game.
Rick, you know, as you said, we were meant. For some reason, we were meant to get back together, and it's been a thrill for me. Thank you for sharing, and look forward to having your successes. Now go out there and share the message, okay?
You got it, Rob.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Take care, Rob. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.